God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
As tensions once again spike between India and China, the Indian cabinet is set to approve an order of two AWACS from Israel. Thank you for being with us. This is Pastor Larry. Indian media have reported that the deal, about $1 billion U.S. dollars, has been in the works for the past few years. India initially balked at the price, but now that tensions are rising, they are ready to sign the billion-dollar deal for AWACS, which stands for Airborne Early Warning and Control. Mounted on a Russian Ilyushin 76 heavy-lift aircraft, the system has active electronic steering array, L-band radar with 360 degrees coverage, and can detect and track incoming aircraft, cruise missiles, and drones before ground-based radars. The first three AWACS were obtained by the Indian Air Force in 2009. The February 2019 incident between Pakistan and India, as well as the growing border tensions with China and high-altitude eastern Ladakh, have pushed New Delhi to reconsider the deal and to speed up the acquisition of the systems despite the price. Israel has been supplying India with various weapon systems, missiles, and unmanned aerial vehicles over the last few years, making India one of Israel's largest buyers of military hardware. Isaiah 2 verse 4 says, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. One day, military tensions will cease. That day is not yet here." Shalom to all of our listeners. You know, I love the priestly blessing of Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Jonathan Kahn knows the peace of God because he walks with God, and he's back with us. We've been visiting for the last several days and talking about his latest book, The Harbinger 2. Jonathan, thank you so much for all the time. I mean, I know you're a very, very busy young man, so thank you for giving us these six shows.
Well, thank you for calling me a young man.
we all feel good. Okay.
It's an honor.
Well, let's start with a little bit of a recap. Bring us up to snuff.
Yeah, well, Larry, this is one of the first interviews I'm doing. So, you know, and we are opening up, revealing The Harbinger 2. It's been years where I've held back from it. I always knew there was going to be a sequel. People asking, you going to do it? Well, I could only do it when it was the right time. I knew, and the Lord said, this is the time. And so this is the mystery of The Harbinger has not stopped. First of all, most of the mystery I could not even put down in the original book. So this is The Harbinger 2, where I'm revealing it. I've held back for years. Some things from 9/11 I've held back. And then, but also it has continued. It has not stopped. We are following the course of the mystery. It's affecting all of our lives. There are harbingers and signs are appearing. And the last part is that it's going up to, as we saw last time, right up to right now. Even the shaking, the pandemic, what we are right now, and where we are heading, and what do we need to know for the future. So all that is going to be in The Harbinger 2, which is also subtitled The Return.
Well, in a chapter called The Island, you write of a prophetic warning embedded in America's foundation that is now coming true right now. So what is it?
Yeah, well, Larry, at the beginning, before America existed as a nation, it was a civilization. And you had the first kind of prophetic word spoken over it, the first image that has lasted, was by John Winthrop. He was the one who was called, George Washington's called the father, John Winthrop's called the grandfather of America. He actually led the Massachusetts Bay Colony, and he brought over all these the Puritans, and he gave a prophetic word. He said, if we follow God, we will become as a city on a hill. The eyes of all the world will be upon us, and we will be the most blessed nation in the world, blessed people in the world. If we follow God, we'll be the blessings of Israel will come upon us. And, you know, Reagan quoted that. We own the city on the hill. But they don't say what he also said often. I mean, he said, but if we turn away from God, then the judgments that came on Israel will come upon us. And now think about the harbinger. It's the judgments of Israel upon us. We think about all the things we spoke about. It's the judgments of Israel because we have turned away. But that's the warning he gave. He warned, if you do this, you're going to be destroyed. You do this. So, all right, so that happened. Now, the thing is, that there actually, people don't realize, there actually was a city on a hill, or rather a city. John Winthrop actually founded a city, and he became the that's where he lived, and it became the governor of it, and that was his dream, to make it as a city on a hill, or make it at the godly commonwealth. And what was that place? Well, you know it. Everybody who listening already knows it. The city was called Boston. Boston was the city of John Winthrop. He founded it. And it was the city to be the city on the hill. Now think for a moment. Where did 9/11, where did the planes begin? It began in Boston from the city on the hill. It all began from the city on the hill. The warning, from the place where the man who warned America, what will happen, here's the beginning of the whole thing, the beginning of the blessings being taken away. It all begins from where he was. And not only that, John Winthrop, he had an island, and he lived on this island. The island was called Governor's Island because he was the governor. And he used to pray there and pray the whole thing there and all that on this island. Well, that island became Logan Airport, the very place from which the terrorists took off. The island of John Winthrop, the man who gave the warning. Now, remember something, too. When Winthrop gave that vision and that warning, he's quoting from Moses in Deuteronomy. Remember from the other programs, what was the appointed word for 9/11? It was from Deuteronomy, God warning what would happen to the nation turning away. That's what John Winthrop was alluding to. So here it is. You know, all this comes together. So on that very morning, it all begins from the city on the hill, and it all begins. And that's the same morning when the trumpets are sounding, and the same morning when the scriptures are being read, and the same all these things are happening. That was the beginning of where we are now. And where we are now, but the ultimate thing is the nation's given a time and a window, and if it doesn't turn back, there comes judgment. So that's why this is so crucial right now.
Well, what about the scripture that you point to as critical for the present moment, for right now? What scripture is that, and how does it apply?
Well, it's one that we hold in our hearts, and I think I have a whole chapter of it in the original book, The Harbinger. It's if my people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their evil ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I'll heal their land. If my people. Now that was done, you know, that was done by, you know, that was an answer to Solomon's prayer when he dedicated the Temple Mount. I won't go into the mystery of it, but for those of you who know, there's a mystery of ground zero, that was the consecration ground of America, where America was dedicated to God. And that's also, so Solomon prays on Israel's consecration ground and gets that answer. So I mentioned, but here's the thing. There is something, if you look at the words before that, if my people, what the last thing you read in the verse before, leading up to it, is when God says, because you got to do it in context, God says, if I send a plague on the land, then he says, if my people. So here we've got the very year of the plague, number one. This is another reason why this is a critical moment. Number two, it says, if I shut up the heavens, or, you know, like there's famine, drought. Well, there is famine. Right now, this is a year of famine around the world and food shortages around the world. You got that. But then it also says, if I send locusts. Well, locusts, this year 20 is also the year of the greatest plague of locusts on this planet in generations. It's all over Africa, all over Asia, it's all over Latin America. There's never been any, I mean, it's for generations. So you got the locust, plague of locusts, you got famine, and you've got the plague. So all of these things are telling us we have a window right now. And if we don't respond to this, we may never have that again.
Well, I know as we look at the scripture, Hebrew holy days are very significant. So what do recent events have to do with, as you call it, an ancient Hebrew holy day?
Well, let me say this. You know, when we get to this point where it talks about what is coming in the future, what is coming if we don't turn, it's there in the Harbinger too. But it's also giving the keys and the hopes. And there's a lot we can't get into, but how history can literally be changed by God's people. But now I'll kind of bring that together. That, you know, there is a holy day, and I'm sure everybody knows it, who's there, on which the Jewish people were told, go into your houses, stay in your houses, because a plague is passing through your land. Well, what was it? Passover, of course. They're commanded to go in. That's happened once. I mean, this is 3,500 years ago. Never happened since then until the year 2020. And this year is the year that, for the first time in the history of the Jewish people, they were told, commanded by their leaders, go into your homes, stay in your home, don't go out until morning, because a plague is passing through the land, literally, literally. It happened in Israel, and it happened on Passover. That's when they passed the law at 6 o'clock. You got to stay in your house. Never happened before. But it's not just Israel. Here's the amazing thing. It's the whole world. The whole world has been brought into the mystery of Passover, where the whole world has been had to go into their homes and wait because a plague is passing over the land. And when did this whole thing come upon the whole world? It was Passover time. That's when it exploded on the world. And the thing is, we have a civilization that has turned away from the faith of the Bible, the faith of Jesus, which is a Passover faith. When did he die? On Passover. What is Passover all about? The lamb. You know, so we got a thing that's been turning away from that, and yet so God brings the whole world back to Passover. I mean, literally, physically. I mean, the Muslims are back in Passover, the Hindus are in their homes, you know, everybody. You know, God is real. And the ultimate answer of Passover is the lamb. What does it all point to? The lamb. What's the answer to the plague? The lamb. What's the answer to the plague of sin? The lamb. Who is the answer? Jesus. Still on the throne. God is on the throne. So, I mean, it's amazing. The God of our faith is alive.
Well, we have about 6 minutes, but you've got some wonderful material about American history and about Abraham Lincoln. Maybe you could compact that, and I know our listeners want to find out about that. So tell us about ancient scripture, American history, Abraham Lincoln, and the Harbinger.
I didn't even put that in. You're good, Larry. well, there's so much that obviously we don't have time to do. I can't. But I'll tell you. But yeah, there were key times when God literally changed the course of American history and the world history. Our lives wouldn't be the same without it. But it all began with people taking that scripture, 2 Corinthians, if my people. And I will just tell you this, I won't get into it, but literally the entire history of, America may not have survived if it wasn't for Lincoln calling for prayer based on this, Second Chronicles. In Harbinger 2, it shows how it literally to the day changed the history of America, the war, the America and the world. And it wasn't only that, but I'll just tell you, the chapter is called The Winds of April. And the other thing is, it happened in our lifetime too. I actually witnessed it. Remember, America was going down very quick. It was at the end of the Carter years and the 52 hostages and the gas lines. And I mean, there are people saying it's the end of America. America's just falling apart. Well, believers got together, and I literally witnessed God at the National Mall. You know, I'm calling for another one this year on September 26th called The Return. This is just for God's sake, not for anybody plugging. But if you go to thereturn.org, you can be part of that where you are or in Washington. But it's so crucial right now. It's so crucial. But I literally saw that happen on that mall. And when Ronald Reagan was sworn into office, he laid his hand on the Bible, and literally history changed. I mean, it was a reversal. And his hand was on the scripture, if my people who are called by my name. God changed the history of the world. He can do it again, but the big thing is if. And that's why I'm calling for prayer in this September, a day of prayer and repentance.
Well, one of the things I love about you is that you are certainly a deep thinker, very spiritual, but you're also a pastor, and I'm a pastor. And I have many opportunities. People call and they're concerned. They say, Pastor Larry, what does this mean? What should I do? Is there any hope? I know you believe in hope. You believe in revival. God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. The Holy Spirit is still powerful, still working miracles today. So, Jonathan, from a pastor's heart and from a Hebrew scholar, what is our hope? What should we be doing and what should we be looking to?
Yeah, our hope is revival in God. Without revival, hope is God. Without revival, there is no hope for America. It's not just that's for the church, for America itself. So we need revival as never before. We need to be praying for revival. And this is everybody who's listening. This is a crucial period. I don't believe we're finished with the shakings. And also, I believe that this September is going to be very critical, and into the autumn, very critical time. We need to be praying as never before for revival. If my people, we need to be repenting as never. There's no revival without repentance. And so it starts with us. You know, we can't just pray for revival as never before. But don't just pray for revival. Start living in revival. Start spreading the word and pray. And then, you know, also, again, when we get to, if you can remember this, you know, and even if this is broadcast after, it's okay. We'll keep praying. But September 26th is a special day of prayer and repentance. But we need to do it. If we can, God will do it. But the key is is my people, and the key is if. God is calling us for such a time as this. He says, the eyes of the Lord are searching the entire earth, looking for the one whose heart is completely his. You be that one. You be that people, and he will lift you up, and he will show himself mightily on your behalf.
I have a great burden. I think we see it in so many churches today. So many churches have become very secular. I mean, you know, everything is... You know, when I do a service, I don't say, well, I'm an entertainer. I want to entertain people. What I want to do is to help them grow, and I want to train them to be warriors for Jesus Christ. And I think this whole idea of secularism and wishy-washy services and, you know, people go for an hour and then after that they live like everybody else, I think we need to repent. I think we need to confess our sins. I think we need to get on our faces on the floor and cry out to God. These are desperate days.
Yes. Yeah, I get at the end of the Harbinger 2, I'm not going to go into it, but I go open up a mystery having to do with the Feast of Trumpets, which is the trumpet sounding and the warning that we have a set period of time and we got to rise up, we got to live as if this was our last time. We got to do it. God will do it. I believe these are the most critical times. It could be the greatest times.
Yes.
But we only if we rise to it.
Yes, these are times of crisis, and the Chinese word for crisis, actually two words, danger and opportunity. We have a lot of danger, but a great, great opportunity. Well, Jonathan, you are a great blessing. I know that thousands and thousands of people will be blessed by your new book, The Harbinger 2. Thank you so much, dear brother.
Thank you, Larry. And the other thing that will be available will be the Harbinger DVD album for your people. So it's going to have things that are nowhere else. So thank you, Larry. It's an honor to be with you.
Matthew, please come to the mic, give all the information that our listeners need to get the special offer to the listeners of Southwest Radio Church.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our phones have been ringing off the hook. Everybody wants a copy of Jonathan Kahn's new book titled The Harbinger 2. You can have a copy for a gift of $25 if you live in the United States and $45 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. You can order by mail if you like. Our address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order online on our website at swrc.com. We also have Jonathan Kahn's new 8-DVD set with the same title, The Harbinger 2. You can have this amazing 8-hour teaching album for a gift of $45. Better yet, get both the book and the DVDs for a gift of $65. Our toll-free number is 1-800-652-1144. And our website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
The environment, climate change, and sustainability have all become political buzzwords. Politicians, many of them having little regard for the God who created the universe, want us to be able to produce the material good we have become accustomed to while reducing the negative impact producing those items has had on the earth. Yet little real progress is made. Now, why is that? Because taking care of God's creation is not a political issue, but a profoundly spiritual one.
We cannot read the Bible and not conclude that taking care of creation was a mandate for all of mankind from the very beginning. Nor can we conclude that God does not care about the environment. In Genesis 2, verse 15, we read, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." The major responsibilities for humans in the garden were twofold: communion with God and taking care of or honoring His creation.
The creation is not to be worshipped because the creation is not God. If you go and hug a tree, you're not hugging God. The creation has none of the prerogatives of deity. It does not have the power, authority, and sovereign rule that God has. But the creation is God's handiwork and shows forth the glory of God. O Lord, how manifold are thy works, we read in Psalm 104:24. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. We must not destroy God's beautiful creation.
Radical ecology has several complaints with biblical Christianity. First, Christians believe that God has assigned man to rule over the earth. Therefore, we have exploited and misused the earth. Second, monotheism has separated humans from their natural connections to the earth. Third, there are too many people on the earth. The environment needs a diversity of species. Humans have done great harm to many habitats. Fourth, heavenly-minded Christians care little for what they see as a temporary earth.
These complaints are based on a gross misunderstanding of Scripture. Ruling over the earth does not mean the destruction of the earth. Yes, humans have done great harm to many habitats. Now, why is that? Because of selfishness, greed, and ignorance. Don't blame God for that.
And what about the charge that heavenly-minded Christians care little for what they see as a temporary earth? God never calls us to be so heavenly-minded that we are no earthly good. These are straw man charges. No biblical Christian argues that pollution is good or right. It's only when we realize that the creation reflects the glory of Almighty God, and only then can we truly honor God's world.
We usually don't think of Turkey as a Bible land or having a Christian heritage, but that land was a major focus in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. The seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3 are in Turkey. From Breitbart.com, August 21, comes a report that's troubling, yet not surprising. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has ordered that a second ancient Christian church be turned into a fully functioning mosque, just 1 month after a similar decision to prepare Istanbul's Hagia Sophia for Muslim worship. The 700-year-old Kora Church, which was repurposed as the Carrier Museum in 1945, will be converted into a mosque and opened for worship following a presidential decree published in the Official Gazette on Friday, August 21st. The president's decree states that the administration of the building has been transferred to the Directorate of Religious Affairs and will be opened for Muslim worship. The Church of the Holy Savior in Kora, known for its exquisite Byzantine mosaics, was constructed as part of a monastery complex in the 4th century in Roman Constantinople, now Istanbul. Some 50 years after the Ottoman conquest of Constantinople in 1453, the church was converted into a mosque, and the building's precious fresco paintings and mosaics were covered over with dye and lime. Nearly 500 years later, the building was transformed into a museum by a decree from the Council of Ministers in 1945. At that time, the secular Turkish Republic carried out extensive restoration work on the building and its artwork before turning it into a museum in 1958. Like Hagia Sophia, the building has been designated a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Last month, President Erdogan announced the opening of the Hagia Sophia to Islamic worship after Turkey's top administrative court, the Council of State, ruled that the building's conversion to a museum by modern Turkey's founding statesman Mustafa Kemal Atatürk was illegal. In November 2019, the Council of State ruled similarly that the conversion of the Kora Church into a museum had been unlawful because it violated the Ottoman declaration of that building to be used for Muslim worship. Erdogan's decisions regarding the fate of Hagia Sophia and Kora are deemed to represent an effort to appeal to Muslim voters after the president's party lost the Istanbul mayoral election in 2019. Daniel 11:36 through 39 describes a day during the future tribulation when the Antichrist will be in control of the world. Ultimately, he will erect a statue of himself in the temple in Jerusalem. turning it from its present intended purpose, just like we are seeing in Turkey. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a god whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver, and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain.
An intelligence alert sent by the FBI to the Chicago Police Department warns of a pact among street gangs, quote, to shoot on sight any cop that has a weapon drawn on any subject in public, close quote. We have been made aware of this threat by a law enforcement partner, a Chicago police spokesperson told Fox News. The Chicago Police Department takes all threats against officer safety seriously, and we will take all necessary measures to safeguard our officers.
The alert, which mentions around 36 gangs, says that members of these gang factions have been actively searching for and filming police officers in performance of their official duties. The office of Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, when contacted by Fox News, did not immediately respond to a request for comment.
Under Mayor Lori Lightfoot's leadership, as is true for many other U.S. cities under Democrat leadership, violence has increased exponentially. Even police officers, whose duty is to defend the citizenry, are being treated like criminals, while the real criminals seem to enjoy some kind of immunity. Two police officers were shot while conducting a traffic stop in the city of Chicago over the last weekend in August. In addition to the two officers, Chicago weekend shootings left 10 dead and 45 wounded. When violence and chaos reigns unhindered, everyone suffers. All sane people who love peace and decency must affirm that all lives really matter.
What is behind the shakings that have now overtaken the world and America? How much time do we have left? Call or write for our special gift offer today, the new book by Jonathan Cahn titled The Harbinger 2. Our toll-free number is 1-800-652-1144. Our address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And our website is swrc.com. Thank you for joining us today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry talks with Michael Anthony about courage on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.